Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 15th. I'm Ray Graff. Yeah, it's tax day. What a good day to get some financial advice. We have two folks from BST, an accounting, tax, and financial services consulting firm with us today. Judy Cahey will be with us on the line and James Lozano as well. You got a question about taxes or your finances in general? Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. Try to keep them relatively brief. 9 paragraphs tends to clog up the show. A paragraph or two. 800-348-2551 if you want to call. voxpop@wamc.org if you want to email. Yes, finance coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today's program will feature advice from BST, an accounting, tax, and financial services consulting firm. Judy Cahey has nearly 20 years of tax experience and extensive knowledge in the areas of individual, corporate, partnership, and estate and trust taxation. Judy has a bachelor's in accounting from Castleton State College and a master's in taxation from the University at Albany. James Lozano has more than 25 years of accounting and finance experience. He is in charge of the CFO for Hire division of BST, providing financial reports to help businesses make informed decisions. Jim holds a bachelor's in business economics from SUNY Oneonta and an MBA in finance from Adelphi University. If you have a financial question today or a tax question, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Judy Cahey, James Lozano, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Really great to have you here, even if you're not actually here. It's been a couple of months since you've been on the show now, right?
Yes.
When the pandemic took hold, April 15th became July 15th. July 15th becomes today. It is tax day. As of, I think, yesterday, the IRS had received about 142 million individual tax returns. There's about 8 million outstanding. There are a lot of procrastinators still out there. You guys been busy?
Oh, we've been very busy.
Go ahead.
And on top of that, they've delayed the quarter one and quarter two estimates. So those are due today as well on top of the last year's tax return. So it's been a very busy couple weeks.
So in other words, if you make quarterly estimated tax payments, you had two quarters off and now you have to pay all of that?
Correct. Federally, yes.
Well, that'll be a hit.
Yep.
Is there anything special we need to know about filing taxes at this time, or is it just cut and dry at this point?
It's cut and dry. It's mostly electronic. You know, we've seen a couple hiccups with mailing in some checks to different service centers and the length of time for those to get cashed and cleared because of different issues related to COVID. But for the most part, it's electronically filing tax returns and smooth sailing as far as that goes.
Now, I guess it doesn't matter yet with this tax filing, but a lot of people have had shifts in income, employment situation, other tax situations this year, in the first part of this year. Are we setting ourselves up for a nightmarish 2021 tax filing season?
Well, you know, if you're working, you know, I said the quarterly estimates are due today, and a lot of those center around business owners, right? So 2020 has certainly been a challenging year. There's been entities that have gotten PPP loans. There's some uncertainty as to the tax treatment on those at this point. So, you know, I think in terms of planning for 2020, I think, if you're a business owner, you have to plan a different sort of way to take a strategic look about where you're at. If you're an individual who doesn't own a business, you have to look at your situation. If you're collecting unemployment, more often than not, they're taking that federal and the state withholding out of that. That's taxable income to you. But certainly a lot of people are finding themselves in unusual situations this year.
We are joined today by James Lozano and Judy Cahey of BST, an accounting, tax, and financial services consulting firm. If you have a question for them today, give us a call at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. James Lozano, you know, I watch the markets every day. Not being a wealthy man, I still watch the markets every day. And there has been some, let's just say, fluctuation. Is this a time for me to sell all my holdings and buy gold?
I'm not really the expert on wealth management, for sure. But, again, just from a personal perspective and talking to other business owners, there certainly is going to continue to be some turmoil in the stock market. And, you know, third quarter earnings will probably be very important in terms of what may happen by the end of the year. So I think it's kind of a wait and see approach is the way people potentially should be looking at it.
All right, let's take a couple of quick emails here, and then we'll take a short break, and then we will go to the phones at 800-348-2551. This one came in a while back from Ann. Ann says, my mortgage is 4.875%. Is this a good time to refinance? I've been in the house for 7 years. Who wants that one?
I don't think I'm not the expert okay. on that, but I would think that, you know, right now, you know, 15-year rates are somewhere around 3%.
Yeah.
So, I would think that it would be a good opportunity to go ahead and do that. You probably will have significant savings. There will be some closing costs associated with that yeah. will get lumped in. But I think those would be minimal in terms of what it would add to your loan payment. And you could probably lock in a very, very good fixed rate right now that will cut your interest, the amount of interest you would pay over the life of the house.
All right, this email from Rich, and then we'll take a quick break. Rich writes, most of my retirement funds are in my 401k, with about a third in bonds, the rest in an index fund following the S&P. I have more than 10 times my annual income in the 401k and double my annual income in cash in the bank. I intend to retire in less than a year at age 63. I sometimes hear that some of my retirement should be in cash. Does this mean actual cash in the bank or converting a portion of the 401k to cash? And that is from Rich.
Yeah, it really depends on your situation, right? All your sources of income, what's taxable, what the best place to have that cash is. There's certainly different vehicles you look at. And again, this relates a little bit to tax in that, you know, you can have different securities you can place it in where it's tax exempt and whatnot. But I think it's a bigger question than just where to invest it, because you really have to take a true snapshot of the taxable income situation and look at it from that perspective as well.
James, you want to add anything there?
Nope, that was good answer.
All right, fair enough. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Judy Cahey, James Lozano are with us today from BST, and we talk financial help and taxes and such. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, and our number is 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll get to the emails again in a little bit. Judy Cahey is with us, and James Lozano. They are both from BST, an accounting, tax, and financial services consulting firm. And let's go to the phones. Kathy and Seward, you're first. Kathy.
Oh, boy, I'm first. Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
Pleasure to speak with all of you. I got a kind of out there question. Someone told my granddaughter that if she's got a W-2 that's less than something like $4,000, she doesn't have to report it.
Okay, simple question. Judy?
Yeah, so that's what we refer to as the standard deduction, right? So as a taxpayer, you're entitled to a deduction. Now, the question, Kathy, sort of becomes, is she a child of somebody else, a dependent, or can she claim herself on her taxes?
I'm sorry?
No, she claims herself.
She claims herself.
Okay. So then you look to a standard deduction. So the IRS gives you a standard of about $9,700 on your income. So if you make $4,000, the answer is it's not taxable on the federal level.
Well, what if that $4,000 is in addition to another W-2?
Right. So
that's more than...
So you sum the two. You look to your standard deduction rate for a single taxpayer, and that's the number that matters. So right now, the number for 2019, with the total all in, was $12,200. So if she's single, nobody else is claiming her, she would basically be, have to look at the sum of, and that's not only her wages, it would be any other form of income she has. If she's under that threshold, then she doesn't have a federal filing requirement. But you would also, Kathy, take a look at her withholdings, right? So she has a job. If there's some federal withholdings on there, she would want to file a return and get those dollars back.
Right. And what if she wants to take that part of her 2019 earnings and declare it in 2020?
No, it follows the W-2 she gets. So her employer would file with the IRS a W-2, and it would report the period that she earned that money in. So if she received a form W-2 from that employer for 2019, that's the proper return to report it on.
Okay.
One other quick question.
All right.
Is it true that the minimum required withdrawal from IRAs is not happening for 2020?
Right. So thanks to the CARES Act that the president signed back at the end of March, the answer is for most plans, yes. For most types of retirement plans, you do not have to take a required minimum distribution in 2020.
Is an IRA a plan?
Yep, that is correct. So you do not, an IRA is a type of plan that qualifies not to have to have an RMD in 2020.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. We got to move on here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number if you require some financial advice. Gratis from Judy Cahey and James Lozano of BST. And Elaine is in Lee. Elaine.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I have a sort of a two-part question. So I'm self-employed, starting out a business, and I'm looking to the future and wondering how I'm going to balance saving for retirement because I'm in my mid-50s, as well as paying for health insurance and how that's going to affect. And I do have to do some catch-up with my retirement savings. So what can you tell me about those two things, balancing those two things?
So, Elaine, as a starting out a business, right, you need to get certain things in place for yourself. And one of the more simpler things you can do as a taxpayer is to get a self-employed retirement plan, like a simple plan or a step plan that you could get in place for yourself to be able to contribute a little bit towards that retirement. That doesn't take, that's a little bit easier from an administration standpoint than going as far as a 401k or something like that, but certainly something along the lines of the step plan where you could take 20% of your net self-employment income and put it in there. That would certainly help you. But yes, it certainly is tough to juggle balancing what you need to set up and how to fund that.
Is that pre-tax or post-tax in the SEP IRA?
Right, so you get a deduction on your individual tax return for it in the year, and then the dollars that come out in the future are taxable to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Elaine, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to our buddy Merle in Argyle. Merle, you're on.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Just a real quick question. We had estate taxes several years ago, 2 years ago, okay? But one bank took forever to give us the money, and we just got it this year, and it's like $1,000. And I'm asking, what is it even worth for you tax people? You're going to charge me more for doing estate tax, correct? Hello?
Hello, we're here, hello? Merle. You're stumping the panel.
Huh?
No, we're here. She's going to go.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm waiting for an answer.
All right, Merle. Hang in there.
Okay, Merle.
It's only $1,000.
Okay.
So I am trying to get it in front of me what the level of filing requirement is. I'm assuming that you're talking about an estate and that there's been, this is some sort of earnings on that estate that's now coming out the door to you.
It's not earnings. It was a IRA that it took forever from this bank to give us the money to close out the account that was part of the estate of my wife's mother. And that should have been tax-free at the time. But now, it's 2 years later, so now you're going to have to either, I'm going to have to talk to my tax person and go through a whole estate tax thing. And is it worth it? I mean, she's going to charge me X amount of money, and the amount for $1,000 doesn't really
We got you.
Do much.
Right. So the short answer is
no. We're not paying tax anyway.
All right, Merle, let Judy go here.
I'm assuming here that the estate is the beneficiary of this, because oftentimes estates are not beneficiaries of IRAs, but assuming that in the context you're talking, that your estate is the beneficiary, if that estate...
My wife was the beneficiary of the estate.
All right. So who is ultimately the recipient of this distribution, the estate or your wife?
My wife.
Okay.
$1,000.
Then I'm going to expect that if she's the beneficiary, that the company is going to issue her a tax statement in her name as the beneficiary, and that tax statement's a 1099-R, that any sort of distribution she receives out is going to be reported in her name, and the tax consequences are going to you.
Yes, correct. But what I'm asking is, is it worth it? In other words, what you charge to make this a estate-free tax,
okay,
opposed to just paying a tax?
Now, we really can't talk about what they charge, Merle. But in general, $1,000 is not a great deal of money. So, in general, is that something that they should handle on their own, James and Judy, or is that something they ought to take to a professional?
I mean, Ray, it depends on his tax situation.
Okay.
What other kinds of incomes? I'm expecting that this, you know, if his wife is the beneficiary, she's going to receive the tax reporting statement. It'll get baked into their individual tax prep, and it shouldn't involve an estate filing.
All right, Merle, thanks very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Finances Today with Judy Cahey and James Lozano of BST, an accounting, tax, and financial services consulting firm. And now, Lori in Niskayuna. Hello, Lori.
Hi. I'm happy to be asking this question. With everybody working from home remotely, not everybody, but a lot of people, has there been any discussion about deducting for air conditioning, heat, water, and toilet paper?
I like this question,
yes.
Lori. I like it. So, unfortunately not. So, right at the end of 2017, we saw a pretty big tax act get passed. And, you know, a lot of people are employees of companies, and as such, there used to be a deduction to the extent your expenses exceeded 2% of your AGI, but that went away. And there are certain situations of home office as well, but again, a lot of that went away in the context of that tax act that got passed a couple years ago. So unfortunately, your toilet paper is not deductible.
I'm sorry, Lori. Let's go to Shane in New Paltz. Shane, you're on. Hello, Shane. How you doing? Oh, Shane, are you there?
Oh, boy. Call us back, okay?
Let's go to Lisa in Malta. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
You betcha.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask, I always give my paperwork on time to my accountant. I'm a small business owner, and so there's quite a bit of paperwork that comes to her. But she always ends up filing extension, and I'm wondering if that's an issue. I end up paying for, other things because it's late. And I was just wondering, how can I implore her to get this done on time?
I'm not sure I can tell you how to implore her. I can help you. I can tell you that it's perfectly acceptable to file an extension of time, right? But as you know, an extension of time extends your time to file, but not your time to pay, right? So I can't quite control how fast this individual does your work, but in terms of filing an extension, it's 100% permissible from, we do a lot of those for clients, and it's perfectly acceptable.
And the fines, it's hard for me to tell if there's a significant fine or not, depending on, how it comes back later, or how she shows it to me later.
So you shouldn't be fined in terms of a penalty as long as she's estimating and getting the amount of tax reported properly. So, you should, on the tax day, be paying the amount of tax due. You're not allowed to extend that. It's due today, but the time just gives you additional time to file the return.
Okay. And I'm also a small business owner that took PPP. And should I PPP specialist as far as filing that paperwork in the future?
Should you hire somebody to do it? Lisa, right now, with the change in the Flexibility Act, there's a form that should be very, very simple for you. It's, I think it's 3508EZ, the two letters E and Z. Do you have employees in your small business?
So I don't. I filed as a sole proprietor, and it's
okay.
Confusing to me as to how to show what my replacement income is. My accountant's telling me that I have to show income, which doesn't make any sense since it's for replacement income. I got it right before we started back up again, so that was a little unfair in that, I wasn't sure, what new expenses and so on and so forth.
But you used it to support yourself as a self-employed person, correct? So, and you put it into a bank account and you paid yourself, right?
Well, I actually haven't yet because I'm trying to figure out what the replacement income is going to be based on, how much money I bring in for the month or for the next, 24 weeks.
Right. The thing you should do is go to your last year's Schedule C, right? Which I believe you should have from your accountant. And whatever your income was on your net income on that, that's the maximum. That's how you got the loan. It should have been how you got the loan.
Correct.
So that's what you should be using as what you can get forgiveness for on that, the 3508EZ form. And that form is very simple.
Okay.
It's only 8 lines. And you don't have to, there's a there's a box on the instructions. If you were self-employed, you check that box. That allows you to use that form. And so that's what you should be using. It should be relatively simple to complete, again, utilizing that 2019 Schedule C.
Lisa, thanks a lot for the call. James Lozano is here and Judy Cahey from BST. The number is 800-348-2551 if you have a financial question. Kathy is in Utica. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. I have a question regarding my charitable distributions. And here's my situation. I'm 74 years old. I live using Social Security, my IRA, and a separate investment account. In the past, I've always made contributions out of my required minimum distribution from that IRA. What should I do this year in terms of what is most tax advantageous? Thank you.
Well, you certainly can continue to, they extended the provision that allows you to make what they call those qualified charitable distributions out of your IRA funds, right? So that, yes. I don't know your tax situation, but a little while ago we were talking about a standard deduction and whether or not, I don't know, for example, if you were to take a standard deduction or itemize, you know, particularly if you're not itemizing, it's very helpful to you to be able, because what that does, what that qualified charitable distribution does, is it allows you to report a zero in the taxable income column for that IRA. So it excludes the IRA income from your taxable income rather than looking down the page to claim a deduction later on that you may or may not get depending on whether you itemize or take a standard deduction. But without your tax return, it's a little bit hard to answer that.
Okay. Yeah, I do itemize, and generally I'm able to live largely from the charitable, my IRA and Social Security.
Yeah, oftentimes I find it's more beneficial to take the QCD deduction, again, on the face of the return, because there are calculations later on, particularly in the context of itemized deductions that can involve AGI, that adjusted gross income. So, for example, your medical expenses, that's contingent upon exceeding a percentage of AGI. So the lower your gross income is, it can be beneficial in other ways. But again, it sort of depends on your fact pattern.
Kathy, we have to take a break here, but thank you for the call. We're joined today by James Lozano and Judy Cahey from BST, an accounting, tax, and financial services consulting firm. If you have a question, home stretch is straight ahead, 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551, the number. We're getting some tax advice, some accounting, some financial advice from BST. Judy Cahey and James Lozano are here. And before we get to a couple of emails and then back to the phones, I just wondered, now, we have discussed this on your past appearances on the show. I guess a couple of months ago we talked about this, but I still have questions. The checks that many of us got, the pandemic stimulus checks, whatever they actually called them. A lot of us got checks. Are those for next year's taxes, will they be taxable?
No, they'll not be taxable. They will be, you're basically receiving a little bit of an advance for 2020 credit that ultimately will get chewed up on your return. So, for example, if your income dropped in 2020 and you thought, you know, you didn't get one in 2019, you know, based upon that level of income, when you do file your 2020 taxes, you'd be entitled to it. But no, that won't be taxable income to you.
But it won't. But it's counted as income?
Nope.
Oh, nope. Okay. So it won't bump. In other words, if you're on the fine line of, oh, I got a few bucks back from the feds when I file, it won't put you to the point where then you owe.
No.
All right, fair enough. Judy Cahey is here. James Lozano is here. A couple of emails, and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. This one's from Nick. Nick writes, a friend of mine just converted his IRA to a Roth IRA, paying the taxes. The reason he gave was anticipation of tax increases when and if Joe Biden wins. Does this make sense? And that's from Nick.
Well, it's crystal ball, right? I mean, it depends on age, and it depends on value of IRA. It depends on life expectancy, right? So the tool there is that, you know, you have an IRA, you convert it to taxable income and say, okay, you know, it's taxable to me in the year you convert it to the Roth, but then all future appreciation on it, so all future distributions, you know, are not income to you. So it's consideration to, you know, what are your earnings going to be? What's your life expectancy? How many years do you have those dollars to sit there to do that? You know, do you have the cash in your pocket to pay the tax bill on that conversion to the Roth? So a few different factors there to consider.
All right. This one is from Maria in Dalton, Massachusetts. I have several uncashed paychecks, five or six at least, maybe more, from when I used to work in catering. The checks are from 2016. I told my previous employer about them, and he says that he has no way of reissuing them. Is this true, and is there any way that I could still get these paychecks cashed? And that's from Maria in Dalton, Massachusetts.
I'd ask him to explain why there's no way to reissue them. I mean, if he's still open and he's still operating, he certainly would have a way to reissue them. So I would press him on that. If the business is closed, I think she might have a tough time because that bank account is likely closed.
Yeah.
And so it might be very difficult. But if he's operating the restaurant still, he should have a bank account. Even if he's changed the name, if he is operating even under another name, she should just press him and say, hey, look, I never cashed these checks. You know, you wrote them to me. So she really has to focus on the owner more than the business, I would suggest.
All right. This one is from Jack in Olive Bridge. Jack writes, if one has taken the RMD in 2020 for 2020 before the CARES Act was passed, can one return it to the IRA and avoid the present tax on it? And that is from Jack in Olive Bridge.
Yeah, there was a rule on that. You had a certain number of days, and then they came out recently and changed it again. So let me try to get that for you. But you had a certain number of days to turn back the RMD in 2020 if you had collected it before the passage of the CARES Act. But I don't know now if that has gone by or not.
Okay. This one's from Diane, also about the RMD from the IRA. Is it true that the required minimum distribution from retirement accounts has been waived for this year?
That is correct. So, you know, again, the IRA distribution is waived for year 2020. And the reason that was the case is, you know, initially when that CARES Act got passed in March, a lot of accounts were taking big hits in value. So the idea was to not require taxpayers that, you know, had depleted assets in their accounts to have to turn around and take an RMD in 2020.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. James Lozano and Judy Cahey from BST are with us for about another 15 minutes or so. We go to Hank in Clifton Park. Hank.
Hi. Okay, midnight last night, I thought my taxes were done. I was, you know, using TurboTax, which I've used for forever. And my wife was going over it this morning, and she said, oh, how come you put this in as a, why did you take an RMD for this account? And I said, well, 2.5 years ago when I was 70 and a half, I called, and they said it was a traditional IRA. And so I took the RMD I had, and I've been doing that since. I took one for 2018 and 2019 also. And we looked at the prior statements, and I missed it last year. In 2017, it doesn't characterize it one way or the other on the statement that they sent me. But we noticed this morning that the year-end statement I got from the company that has the IRA classifies it as a Roth IRA. So obviously I have to change my tax form and all that, but can I recover? What do I do? Can I do anything in terms of the money I took out for the R&D and actually put it back or what?
So are you saying that you took money out and it was actually a Roth IRA?
Yes.
Okay. So if you took money out, you should get a 1099-R from the company, and that company, that 1099-R should have a portion that was, you know, not taxable on it. So line one is taxable, line two, you know, on it would have, so it shouldn't have been taxed pursuant, you know, as long as you're, you know, meet the rules of it. So I'm a little bit confused here. You can't go back. If you take a Roth IRA, you shouldn't be paying tax on it as long as you're of the retirement age and so forth. But, if you think you can't turn it back and roll, you know, like recontribute the dollars from 2 years ago into the account, but I'd encourage you to just check that 1099-R you received from the company for each year, looking at, okay, was it a Roth and how much did they report on there, and make sure that's in line with what it needs to be.
So if on the 1099-R, would it would say what? Non-taxable because it was a Roth?
Yeah, it should identify the amount that you should pick up in your taxable income on there, yeah.
Okay, and if it doesn't have that, then it should be a traditional, right?
Yeah, it should identify it for you. But that fact matters, and that's important, you know, because if it's a traditional IRA, you know, and again, oftentimes they report the proper amount to include in taxable income on that as well on a traditional IRA. So take a look at your 1099-R, and that should, you get one of those every single tax year, and that should help you identify the right path here.
All right, Hank, thank you very much. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Let's go out to Rochester. Peter, you're on.
Yes. Hey, good afternoon. My wife and I submitted our 1040 for last year right at the end of February, hard paper copies to the IRS, and we still have not received our refund. Is there any way that we can check on the status, or is there a timeline since the IRS kind of had to shut down with the virus when we might be receiving our money?
Yeah, there's an online tool on the IRS.gov website to check the status of your refund. I would try that. There is an 800 number out there on the website, which is very difficult to reach the IRS by telephone.
I bet.
So I'd encourage you to try the online Where's My Refund Status and see if that gives you an answer before you try calling the 800 number.
And if you think
great. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
If you think you waited a long time for the show, Peter, just try the IRS and see what happens.
That's okay.
Go ahead. Somebody.
Ray, I want to just circle back to you on one thing. I want to answer the question that came in from the gentleman who said, hey, is it too late to turn back my 2020 RMD on my IRA?
Yeah.
That guidance that came out at the end of June says the IRS extended the date to turn it back to August 31st. So he should check with his company on that because it may not.
That's good advice. Fantastic. Let's go now to Chris in Albany. Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Actually, my question is along the same lines because I filed and paid my taxes. And between the state and federal, it was I got Zippo back. But so that was my question. And asking whether there was anything I could do about it at this time. So it sounds like you've had that answered a few times.
Well, what's one more?
Say that again.
How about one more time? So you have an answer for Chris?
Oh.
Yeah. No? All right.
So, Chris, can you just
clarify that question a little bit for me? You filed your taxes.
Both state and federal. Paid, I got my refund that was due, but it doesn't make any difference. What I owed in the refund, it was a wash at that point. But I'm just wondering what I can do at this point.
Okay.
To get your refund back.
Yes.
So, yeah, the best bet is to try the IRS.gov tool to tell you where your refund status is. Things are a little bit slow at the IRS right now in terms of processing and so forth, and they've had closures at different service centers due to COVID. So it's just a weird world right now.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you very much. Judy in Colebrook. Judy, you're on.
Yeah, hello. I have a complicated question.
Oh, great.
I never received my refund. My accountant called and they said they had issued the check on June 1st. Hmm. Well, here it is, the middle of July.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I have moved. And I think the reason I did not receive the check is that I'm having a lot of problems with the post office forwarding mail.
Yeah.
Now, is there any way to contact the IRS to give them my new address to mail the new check to me? Is there anyone I can call?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is an 800 number. You're going to spend a little bit of time on hold when you call it, but it's 1-800-829-1040. Again, that's 1-800-829-1040. You have to direct that question to them because they have to help you out on that.
Okay.
When you move, there is a form you can file to officially notify the IRS of your change of address. But at this point, you hadn't done that, and the refund is probably stuck in the mail somewhere.
All right, Judy, good luck, and we hope you get that check soon. Thank you very much. Patricia in Pittsfield. Hello, Patricia.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. This is a great show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I am self-employed and already paid my taxes for 2019. In the payment of those taxes, I received a grant that covers 2019 and 2020 for some work. During the pandemic, I wasn't able to do that work, but I'm about to go back to doing that work. And I was wondering if I claim that money as income for I'm basically teaching some yoga classes and, wanted to know if I claim that as income, weekly income, since I already paid my taxes on that. Hmm.
So did you actually receive the entire amount of the grant?
I did.
So, I would ask Judy to comment. I would think that it would be, when did you receive it, in 2019 or 2020?
Yes. In 2019.
I would think that should be, right, Judy? That should be recorded as income for 2019 because you received the cash. The fact that you can't do the work is not really relevant to the IRS or to your respective state. You received the money, so you would be taxed on it. You probably should have gotten some sort of 1099 or something like that from the grantor, I would think.
Oh, I think maybe you misinterpreted my question. Let me just repeat it so we're sure we both get the same idea. I received the grant, and it is covering for some classes that I'm beginning to teach now, okay? So I'm basically going back to work. I am getting PUA. I'm very, very grateful for that. And so as I file my PUA, they're asking if I worked this week. And since, I'm working based on this grant, that I've already been prepaid for. I just don't know whether I claim that as yes, I'm being compensated this much, or if I don't have to claim that. That's my question. It's a tricky one, isn't it?
It is. because
maybe I need to call my accountant.
You're technically not working, but you did receive the money.
I am working.
Are there
I'm starting
expenses
to work, yeah.
that are there expenses that would be related to you teaching these classes once you began to reteach them?
No. It's
so
basically
it's just
for
just
my
payment
facilitation
to you.
Time. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a really, really tricky one because you actually received the money in 2019. You're not receiving it now.
Hmm.
Correct. I already paid taxes on it too. So I've been claiming it as income, but then I'm thinking, well, they're withholding part, you know, I'm still getting PUA partially, but they deduct, you know, like about one third, and I'm assuming it's for taxes.
All
which
right.
I've already paid, so well, I'm questioning that.
We're about out of time, so James, you can't answer this one.
Yeah, it's a very, again, very tricky. But my perspective on it would be you received the income last year. You paid taxes on it last year. I don't think that you would need to say that this year you're working. In other words, you may be working, but you're not receiving any compensation for that.
Oh, so she works in radio. I see. That's interesting. Well, James and Judy, thank you very much for being with us on the program, and good luck getting through another strange season of economics here, and we'll have you back again soon. Maybe the next time you will be in the studio. So here's hoping.
Yeah.
The program was exciting, and we welcome accounting shows whenever we can. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks, Ray.
Support comes from Pelham Auto Service, Route 9 at the Amherst Belchertown line, currently open during normal business hours. Curbside service for all to stay safe and healthy during this time. Worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, supporting our community with temporary closure and continuing to explore art and ideas online. For projects and resources, skidmore.edu/Tang. Once again, thanks to Judy Cahey and James Lozano of BST for joining us on the line today. Thank you for listening. Terrific calls, terrific emails, very interesting. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our very interesting engineer. Jordan Yoxall took the calls. Our producers, Jackie Orchard, I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, oh, it's another interesting show. We're going to talk about real estate and, you know, maybe you're buying, maybe you're selling a home, maybe you're just looking at the homes in the neighborhood and the police haven't caught you yet. That's tomorrow at 2. Stand by now for 51%.